Blog Talk Radio.
And beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida.
And to God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we want you to come along and to go with us as we go before the Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, we exalt you, God. We lift your name up high. We give you all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor. Your words say, if you be lifted up, you said, God, that you will draw all men unto you. And today, God, we are here that your name will be exalted. God, that you will be lifted up. God, that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. God, that we'll be able to soar into the spirit realm. God, that we can have those higher heights and those deeper depths in thee. God, we come today, God, that your people, God, will have faith to believe you in every circumstance, in every walk of life, in anything, God, that come before them, that they'll know, God, that you are God and God alone. And for this, we will glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we would like to welcome you to the Hour of Power broadcast. And I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We are so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in love with his word. We came this day to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that is able to save your soul, that is able to cause you to come in compliance with God's word, to know him in a great and a mighty way, to trust him, to have confidence in him, to have faith in him, to know that he is God and he is God alone, and that whatever that you may be going through today, that you will stand upon his promises, that you will stand upon his word. For the word of God declares that no weapon that is formed against you, I don't know what your name is, but my name is Mary. No weapon that's formed against Mary shall prosper. Why don't you just put your name there? Your name may be Sandy. Your name may be Eric. But whatever your name is this morning, that you can put your name there and know that no weapon that's formed against you will prosper, and that you're blessed in your going in and you're blessed in your coming out. So today, you find us again in the Word of God, and that's where we always will be. We're not coming from Time Magazine. We're not coming from U.S. News Report. We're not coming from the Times Union paper or any other paper, but we are coming from the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God that you find us preaching and teaching this morning. Well, we're going to be in the book of Mark. We're going to begin at that second chapter, and we're going to go through the first through the 12th verse of the same chapter. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And immediately many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come near to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, your sins be forgiven you." But there was certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their heart, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned inside themselves, he said to them, "Why reason you these things in your heart? Whether it is either to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Your sins be forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin." He said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, go your way unto your house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Yes, when we can see the word of God, when we can look at this passage, when we can look at the scripture, when we can look at the mighty works of God, when we can know that God that we serve, when we can know that he is the Alpha and Omega, he is the beginning, he is the end, he is the first, he's alive, he's a true and a living God. I do declare to you today that he has not some power, but he has all power in his hands. I declare to you today that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask, above all that we can think. So here in the Word of God, we see today how Jesus had entered into Capernaum. And it was noise that it had gotten around that Jesus was in the house. Isn't that great to know that Jesus is in the house? Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus is near and that Jesus is there in a certain place? He is there where you are, to know wherever you are that Jesus is there and that he is there for you. For what purpose you may need him, he is there for you. For Jesus was in Capernaum, the word of God tells us, at this time. And it had gotten around that Jesus was in the house. And immediately they began to gather together. Now, if you knew that Jesus was near, and he is, and you want to be touched, or you want to hear him speak, or you need a special word, a healing from him, and you want to see him, would you not go immediately like these people did to see Jesus? It was a multitude of them that had gone. They had gone immediately to see him, the word of God says. And it was so many of them that there was no room to receive them. It wasn't any room even about the door. And he preached to them, the word of God says. And they came to him. The word says they come to him bringing one sick of the palsy. Now, a person at that time that had the palsy, this person had lost all body motion. I mean, he could not function. He could not function in the state that they were in. His body motion was at a loss. So, therefore, they had to bring him to Jesus. Do you know anybody sick? Do you know anybody that has an infirmities in their body? Do you know anybody that's diseased? Do you know anybody that needs a healing? You ought to bring them to Jesus. This is what these people did. They cared about the man that was sick. They wanted him to be healed. They knew that the man needed to be healed. They knew that it wasn't anybody there that was able to heal Jesus, to heal this man of his infirmity, and to cause him to come back to the normal state that will cause him to be able to walk and to be able to use his limbs and to have control over them. It wasn't anybody there that was able to do this. So therefore, he had people that will bring him and that brought him to Jesus. So when we see in that fourth verse, it says when they could not come near to Jesus because it was so many people, they couldn't have get to him but the press. So did that stop him? Did they stop him? Did they stop them from getting to Jesus? What is your opposition? What is it that keeping you from getting to Jesus? Is it a car? Is it that truck? Is it people? Is it where you work? Is it your mentality? What is it that will cause you and keep you from getting to Jesus? These men of faith, these people that have carried this man that had lost his body motion and needed a healing, they decided that they were going to get in there to see Jesus. As you already heard, it was a crowd of people. It was people at the door. They could get in. But that did not stop them from getting to Jesus. Their faith, their vision was greater than what they seen. And their vision was greater than beyond. It was beyond that crowd that was before them. It was beyond the obstacles that they had to confront. So what they did was they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they had to uncover it. Then they had to break it up. And when they did so, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. The man couldn't do anything but lay in the bed. That was a great way for them to get him to Jesus because of the fact this man needs a hurry. He needed in a hurry for Jesus to touch him, for Jesus to make him whole. I mean, I ask you this question again. Do you know anybody sick? Come on. Do you know anybody that's having infirmities in their body? Do you know anybody that the doctor has given a bad report and say that you don't have but 6 months to live? You don't have but a year to live. Have you ever heard of people that said that the doctor has given them a certain amount of time to live? I remember this young woman, how the doctor had given her 6 months to live. She had gone to the doctor, her mother had taken her in because she was symptomatic, she needed some help, and they did exploratory surgery on her, and they found out that she had multiple tumors, and that they had given her, and it was not only tumors, but they was cancerous tumors, and they said that she didn't have but 6 months to live. Oh, I can imagine how she would have felt when she was told, and when a parent, when a mother was told that her daughter had only 6 months to live. So I applaud the friends. I don't know what they had to be friends. I don't know whether there was any family members among them, but I do know that there was some faith among them. For the word of God say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, come on, the evidence of things not seen. So you have to move in faith even when you don't see things happening. Even if a blind man was blind, you got to move and know that if you put your hand upon him, you speak the word to him. And even when you don't see that man open his eyes, or that woman open their eyes, or that girl or boy open their eyes, right then you got to know that it's faith in the Almighty God that's going to cause this thing to come to faith, to know that that person will see. It's not what you see, not what you feel. It's in God that we have to believe God for everything in our lives. And we see these men, how they came upon obstacles, but they didn't let these obstacles get in that way. I need you to think today, what obstacle that is confronting you, that's in your way, that caused you not to believe God? God's word let us know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The word of God let us know, is there anything too hard for God? No, it is not. So we see the faith of these people that have gone up upon the rooftop. They uncovered it because they couldn't get in by the door. Come on. They uncovered it, and then they broke it up, and they let down the bed of the man that was sick. And when Jesus, come on, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, he said to the man that had the loss of motion, of body motion, he said to him, son, your sin, whatever sins you have committed, whatever thing that you have done, whatever thing was in your life that was not right, he's saying, your sins be forgiven you. But there was certain of the scribe. You see, there was certain of the scribe sitting there. There's always somebody that's there that's not believing God and don't want to find fault and want to criticize. There's always someone that's there that's not agreeing with you, that's not rejoicing with you, that's not believing with you in a time of need. And instead of them agreeing in faith and believing that this man was going to be healed, and when Jesus spoke to him and told him, son, thy sins, your sins be forgiven you, they was listening to what Jesus saying, and they was reasoning in their heart. They were thinking, why does this man just speak blasphemy? Why did he say, how can he forgive sin? Nobody can forgive sin but God only. They didn't know the power. They didn't know who was before them. They didn't know who was in the midst of them. So then they began to criticize. That is how there are people in our lives today. There are people that will criticize your faith, and they will criticize when you began to stand upon the promises of God. For the word of God said that he will not leave us. He said that he will not forsake us. But all we got to do is to stand on the word of God. God's word says that he will not leave us. He said he will not forsake us, but that he will be with us. Therefore, all we have to do is to stand upon the word of God and know that God, that he is God, and God all by himself. No, these people, they did not let the obstacles keep them from getting this man to Jesus. If they had to tear up the roof to get the man down to Jesus, that's what they did. What are you going to do today? Are you going to tear down some roof? Are you going to tear down some unbelief in order to get to Jesus? If you have to tear down those unbelief or whatever it is that's keeping you from getting to Jesus, go ahead and do it, and do it now. This man needed a healing. His friends were there to move on his behalf. His friends were there to make a difference in his life. So we see that criticism has arisen. They want to criticize the man of God. They want to criticize God. They want to criticize him for doing what he did when Jesus was in the midst of them. Oh, whatever they needed, they could have been delivered. Whatever obstacle that they was confronting, they could have been delivered as well. But no, they was criticizing Jesus for saying what he did, for forgiving the man of his sin. Oh, it was only Jesus can do this. Only Jesus can make the difference. They thought that he was blasphemy because of what he said. But when we look at that eighth verse of the second chapter of Mark, the word of God says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned inside themselves, he said to them, why reason you these things in your heart? He asked them a question. Why are you reasoning these things, whether or not I can forgive sin? Oh, my God, what kind of people are among us? What kind of people that heart is so hardened? That's why we have to pray that God will cause man's heart not to be hardened, that their heart will be the heart of flesh, not the heart of stone, not hard-hearted. Oh, my God, this man needed a healing. Didn't they see that this man needed healing? Didn't they know that there was a man about them in that city of Capernaum that needed a healing? They couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't heal him. They didn't have faith to believe him. But yet God was able to heal this man of his infirmities. In that ninth verse, Jesus said, whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. And that's what's so wonderful about this thing. Oh, my God, that Jesus has the power to forgive you of your sins and your transgression, no matter what you have done in your life, no matter how you may have been a prostitute, you may have been a liar, you may have been a fornicator, a homemonger, you may have been a person that on Wall Street, in the White House, you may be in the Senate or Congress. God can forgive you for your sin. God can come into your heart. He will come into your heart. He will forgive you of your sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Come on, he gave his only begotten son. He gave something that was so precious to him. He gave his life, that we can have a life, to have a right to the tree of life. So, yes, he died for our sin and our transgression. He died that we can live and not die. All we need to do is repent, to turn around, to walk away, my God, to refrain, to give up that life that we are living that's not according to God's word, and come boldly before the throne of grace. Come on. I know that the God that I serve, he is a all-seeing, all-knowing God, a God that has all power in his hand. And yes, he is able to forgive sin. Yes, he is able to heal, deliver, and to make free. So he told this man that had the palsy, he said to him, he said, son, your sins be forgiven you. Is somebody out there today? I know you are. Listening to this broadcast, our power, this is the hour of power broadcast, that you can hear the word of God, that you can be delivered, that you can be made free, that you can know that God, he is a God, and that he can move in every area of your life, and that you can be the center, that you can allow Jesus to be the center of your life. And if you want to be healed, you want to be delivered, you want to be made whole, I know a God. I'm talking about a God that's able to heal you. I'm talking about a God that's able to deliver you. I'm talking about a God that's able to supply every need in your life. I'm talking about a God that's able to do the supernatural. Don't you know that we are serving a supernatural God? Don't you know the God that we serve is a on-time God? He is always on time. That song says, may not come when you want him, but he is right on time. I tell you this morning that he may not come when you want him, but I decree and declare that he is right on time. So he said there in that 10th verse, he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say to you, arise, take up your bed. Come on, arise, get up there. Get up, get up. Arise, get up. Take up your bed. Go your way unto your house. Get up. And the word of God says in that 12th verse, in that 12th verse, it say immediately. It didn't say he got up 10 days after God had spoken. It didn't say he got up 30 days after. But the word of God say immediately he arose. He took up his bed, went forth before them all. Everybody can see him. Criticizer. Those that was waiting to be healed, those that came against Jesus, always the word of God say all, that all was able to see him, in so much that they were all, and when they saw him, they were all amazed. Don't you want to amaze the people, to let them know that the God that you serve is a on-time God, and that he's a miracle worker? You may be in a part of a ministry, and they don't believe in healing, and they don't believe that Jesus can do what he did as he walked on the street. But I tell you today, he can do it. He is a God that will do it. He has people like believers can do it. That can be, that believe his word. All we have to do is believe God's word. We have to be like those men, those people, those brethren, whoever they were, that didn't stop at the door when they couldn't get in for the press, for the amount of people that was there in the house. But that their faith, it began to soar. Their vision became even brighter and plainer. They did something. They got up on the roof. They uncovered the roof. They began to break up the roof. They broke it up, and then they let down the man that needed a healing. I'm telling you today that we can just believe God, that we can just stand on God's word. No matter what you have been given, no matter what the report of the doctor, we got to believe God. Come on, and believe for immediately, a right now healing, that God is still healing, still delivering, still making free. I told you about the woman that had the cancerous tumor, how God healed her immediately. Immediately. And there was a man that was in the hospital, died in the hospital, and the doctor pronounced him dead. I can imagine him looking at the clock, the physician calling the time on his death. But then a believer came. Come on. Somebody that believed God began to pray the prayer of faith, and that man was made whole. He was brought back to life. We need more believers. We need more people that's going to stand in the gap. We were gap standers. They were standing in the gap. They was in a seat, and they were praying. They were believing. It did not stop them from doing what was necessary to get this man healed. Are you doing what is necessary to get those around you healed, delivered, and made free? Are you saved? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you confessed your sin? The Bible said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, word of God said that we shall be saved. And I decree and declare that he is able to save to the uttermost. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. I'm getting ready to pray. I believe that somebody out there today need a healing in their body. I am believing that they're going to be healed today. I believe that whatever you may be going through, whatever the report that the doctor has given you, they may say that you have in heart failure. The devil is a liar, and he doesn't know God. My God, you shall live and not die. Come on. Somebody says that you have leukemia, and the doctor have not given you a favorable report. But I can give you one. I can give you a good report, because the word of God says, by his stripes I am healed. And the same God that will heal me, the same God that will heal you, because he has no respect of person. Oh, my God. The doctor may say you are full of cancer. The devil is a liar. His daddy and everybody with him is a liar, because he's a father of lies. But even as I believe this word, even as I preach this word to you this morning, that God is able to do anything, just put your faith out there. Just put your trust in God. Word of God says, the trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe, lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's time to believe God. It's time to stand upon his word. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're getting ready to believe God for miracles. Come on. What is it you have out there for God? What is it that you need God to do for you? We serve a miracle-working God. What is it that you need from God? He is able to do it for you today. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about today. Our faith is out there. We're believing God for whatever you need today. It is going to be done today. My God, my God. Even so, whatever sickness whatever infirmities we come against it today, we're standing on God's word. Even those that person with that need a total need. Oh, God is able to heal your needs. Isn't he the creator? Isn't he the one that made it? Oh, my God, he's able to do it. So whatever you need inside of those knees, of cushion those knees and keep them from rubbing upon bone and cartilage, God is able to do that. Come on, let's believe God. Let's believe God. You're blind. You can't just see. But I believe God, I believe that he is able to heal your eyes. Oh, my God, you in that wheelchair. I believe that God is able to get you out, up and out of that wheelchair. Why? Because it's God. He's God. He is God, and he is God alone. He is God. So let us pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God that you allow us to bring to your people today. I pray, God, even now that you would touch them. And God, I thank you for their faith has soared. Their faith, Father God, has moved God up to that next faith move in you, that they will believe you for greater things, Lord God. Thank you for soaring our faith and building our faith and strengthening our faith and encouraging us today. Thank you, God, for giving us, Lord God, that peak and that look. And it wasn't just a peak, God, but thank you for that great insight, that great vision, that great picture that you painted for us today. Lord Jesus, I give you praise and glory. Thank you, God, hallelujah, for being able to paint that picture for us, to build our faith, to see, Father God, bodies healed. God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God, thank you, Father. Glaucoma, I command you in Jesus' name, the spirit of infirmity, that demon of blindness, that demon of blindness in the eyes and glaucoma, my God, in Jesus' name, I decree and declare that your eyes are healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Demon of glaucoma, demon, come out in Jesus' name. I command you, sickness and disease, I command you to lose your hold. Infirmity of diseases, infirmity of sickness and diseases, cancer, I command you to lose your hold and come out of the people, even where they stand, even where they're sitting, even where they're laying. Father, let them rise up in the name of Jesus and stand in faith and believe you today for every healing that they need in their lives. And Father, we thank you for it even right now. And Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord God, for their healing and for their deliverance, God. Thank you right now for hearing the prayers of the people that are listening to this broadcast, God, that they'll know, God, that Dr. McCoy is not the healer, but God, you are the healer, and they are to reach out to you, and they are to believe you, God, for what you are able to do in their lives. And Father, there are those that are not saved. Lord, your word says we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised them from the dead. You say, God, that they shall be saved. So thank you right now for saving, delivering, and making free. And for this, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please join us on this coming Friday. We will not be broadcasting on this coming Friday, but we will be back on broadcast of next week. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And may you receive what God has for you on today. In Jesus' name. is our prayer.